break every stronghold, shine through the shadows. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows.
I'm supposed to say to the folks who are watching online, this fixed? Oh, never mind. The one time I didn't forget. So we have been in John since September, and I have tried my best not to detour because I get distracted. I probably have undiagnosed ADHD, but okay, I won't speak that up for myself. But as we were ending our time together in Atlanta with Reverend Gilliard, because we were in the Lenten season, he challenged us, particularly pastors, to re-examine fasting and challenged us to look at Isaiah 58. And so I did. And so today I'm going to preach from Isaiah 58. It's one of those things where, like, yeah, you just get convicted. And so I found myself very much convicted, even in my own approach to fasting, because this text really challenges and calls us to look at fasting differently and look at fasting through God's lens as opposed to the lens that we have allowed it to take, or the shape that we've allowed it to take. So I'm going to read Isaiah 58 for us today. So Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 14, reads as follows. Shout out. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They want God on their side. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. You fast only to quarrel and fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down, to head like a bulrush, and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests and pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestors, Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. My sermon title today is The Fast That God Wants. The Fast That God Wants. Theodore Parker, the 19th century abolitionist preacher, once said this. He said, I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. The arc is a long one. I can divine it by conscience, and from what I see, I am sure it bends toward justice. This came from Theodore Parker's Of Justice and of the Conscience, a sermon that he wrote in 1853. However, that line would later be carried into the bloodstream of the civil rights movement by Dr. Martin Luther King. But Parker's statement was not sentimental optimism. It came from resistance to the Fugitive Slave Act. It was spoken while black bodies were hunted in the name of law and while white Christians and other Christians quoted scripture to defend it. The arc bends toward justice, but it won't bend without a struggle. The arc bends toward justice, but it won't bend without confrontation. The arc bends toward justice, but not without repentance. Brothers and sisters, Isaiah 58 is not interested in comforting religious people. It's not interested in bringing comfort to the church. The purpose of Isaiah 58 is to confront them, to confront us. Because what had begun to happen was that they had right practices without right ethics. Right practices without right ethics. Isaiah 58 belongs to what scholars identify as Isaiah and this section between 56 and 66, which is post-exilic Judah. The people have returned from Babylon. The temple is in the process of being rebuilt. They've begun to worship again, and the sacred rhythms of the children of Israel are being restored. But justice is not being restored. And Walter Brueggemann says this. He says, the community is no longer struggling to believe in God. The struggle is whether their faith will reorganize their social life. In other words, they believe that God exists, but the belief that they have in God has not begun to shape how they live. And I wonder if that's the case for more of us than we care to acknowledge. That we proclaim the name of Jesus, we speak the name of Jesus, we are believers in God, but it has yet to shape every aspect of our life. So the crisis that they are facing in Isaiah 58 is not about atheism, it's not about disbelief, it's about religious performance disconnected from economic justice. God says, shout out. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion. God commands confrontation inside the covenant community. He is calling the prophet to speak to the church and let the church know that you are no longer mirroring what I have called you to mirror. And unlike other times, what we are seeing is not a prophet speaking to the pagans or pagan nations, but what we see is that through the prophet, God is levying an indictment of the faithful. The people are fasting. The people are praying. They're observing holy days. But it feels or it appears that God is silent. They complain. Why do we fast, but you do not see? You ever had that complaint? I'm fasting, God, but I'm not seeing your response. Lord, I'm praying, I'm crying out, I'm not hearing an answer to my prayers. God, where are you? I'm sure many of us ask that right now. God, where are you in the midst of these wars? God, where are you in the midst of job loss? God, where are you in the midst of rising groceries? God, where are you? And the interesting thing is that from the perspective of the theologians, this was not them speaking out of doubt. This was actually them speaking from entitlement. Because they believe that the spiritual discipline of fasting and temple worship should guarantee divine response. In other words, God, I'm giving my tithes, I'm showing up, I'm singing on the worship team, I'm greeted in the back. Why aren't you answering my prayers? Where are you? Because I did this, you should be doing that. But Isaiah reveals the fracture. When he responds by saying this, he says, look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. The Hebrew word for oppress, hashak, means to exploit economically, to defraud through power imbalance, to extract labor unjustly. Say it again, to exploit economically, to defraud through imbalance of power, to extract labor unjustly. And so what we see then is that the oppression that Isaiah is speaking through is structural exploitation. The exploitation of those who are oppressed is literally built into the system. And so though they are fasting and observing Sabbath, what the prophet is telling them is that they're doing it for their own gain. Says they fast publicly while preserving systems that benefit them privately. This approach to fasting intensifies self-interest rather than dismantling it. And the reality of that it's devastating. It's devastating for those who call themselves children of God. And it's devastating to those who are suffering the oppression. And so what this text is doing is God is not rejecting the discipline in and of itself. God is pointing out the hypocrisy. God is pointing out all of the ways in which we proclaim to be believers of his, but our lives don't match what it is that we say we believe. God is challenging us. But not only is he challenging us and he's calling out the hypocrisy, but it's also pointing out how comfortable we can get in ritualistic behavior. That we can do it so often, again, it becomes ritual and it loses its meaning. And here is the thing, brothers and sisters, Lent is a sacred season. It is about fasting. It is about repentance. It is about self-examination. It is about preparation for the resurrection. But Isaiah also warns us that not all fasting leads toward life. The church can give up food, but what good does it do if we keep the exploitation? The church can give up social media. But what good does that do if we allow racial hierarchy to stay in place? The church can pray long and have 24-hour prayer services. But if we don't fight and speak against abusive systems, then we protect them. And what good really is the prayer? So Isaiah says plainly, God does not honor that fast. It means nothing. Now I gotta say that I had a selfish moment as I thought about that. I thought about all the things that I've given up. That God did not like it. You mean it didn't count? Can I go back and make up? No, I'm just kidding. The reality is this, that the prophet was demanding or not demanding ritual piety, but moral audacity. Not just to look good and say I'm good, but to live in a way that challenged the very systems that have given us comfort. Because the truth is, brothers and sisters, safe worship is transforming hearts. Respectable religion isn't changing the world. Being apolitical isn't being faithful spiritually. We wear like a badge of honor. We're going to stay out of the politics. It's just allowing us to stay on the sideline. And too often these things become the status quo or the measuring stick by which we define Christianity, when in reality they are merely the church or the crutch that we use to make ourselves feel good. So God then turns all of this on his head in verse 6 when God essentially reshapes and redefines fasting and what its aim should be. Verse 6 says, it's not this the fast I choose. God then redefines practice. It isn't just about abstinence alone or refraining for just the sake of. It is bigger than our own selfish reasons and motivations. This text calls us to an abstinence coupled with redistribution. Not just sackcloth and ashes, but a structural undoing. And the actions are clear. It says, loose the bonds of injustice. I don't know about you, but I don't know if me giving up social media is actually loosening the bonds of injustice. It probably loosens the bond of screen time for me. But the injustice is still there. It says to undo the straps of the yoke. It says to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. It says to share your bread. I don't know if me skipping a meal does anything but help my calorie count for the day, because I'm not taking the food that I'm not eating and sharing it with somebody that doesn't have. It says, bring the homeless poor into your house. He has laid out actions that say, hey, if you really want to honor me, here is what you do. If you really want to fast, if you're really going to sacrifice, if you're going to give some stuff up, this is what you do in the process. This wasn't metaphorical. This wasn't symbolic. God was laying out the economic imperatives of those who will call themselves his people. And this is why I struggle so much when I hear people, again, take pride in being apolitical, when I hear people throw around terms like woke, when I hear people throw around things like justice as if they're this one-off, when if you actually read the scriptures, God has been calling us to justice throughout the entirety of the word in the Old and New Testament. It's actually more scriptures that are calling us to justice than there are scriptures where God is directly asking us to fast. So God is not impressed with the bowing of our heads and the sulking look in our face that we have when we try not to let people know that we're fasting from stuff. What's going on? Because you try to be holy, like, you know, in Matthew 6, when we don't tell anybody about it, but it's like all the signs say it. All right. He's not impressed with our downtrodden look and our demure personalities. God is more concerned with broken systems in our world that continue to impoverish his people. Brothers and sisters, God didn't ask us to skip meals. God's asking us who had to skip meals because of me. God does not ask if you humbled your body. God is asking if you humbled your power. God didn't ask if you prayed longer. God asks who is still bound when your prayers are over. God does not ask what you gave up for Lent. God is asking us what we are willing to give back. So if our fasting does not interrupt injustice, then our fasting interrupts nothing. So Isaiah 58 is not this sentimental encouragement. It's structured logic. It says, "Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. The blessings follow justice." God's presence is contingent upon the community's participation in God's justice. I'm gonna say that again. God's presence is contingent upon the community's participation in God's justice. And this points back to other scriptures like 2 Chronicles, when it reminds us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and heal the land. In other words, if we are wondering why we have not seen God act, if we are wondering why we have still waiting for the miraculous things to happen, it's because we still have this consumeristic approach to faith that does not honor God. And while God is waiting and prepared to act, what he is waiting for, what God is waiting for, is for his people who are called by his name to humble themselves, to pray, and to turn from their wicked ways. In other words, we need to dismantle this consumeristic form of Christianity that makes us approach it as if God is a genie who is here just to give us the things that we ask for, as opposed to us saying, "God, what is it do you want from me? What is it do you want from my life? How can I honor you? What can I give up to give? Not give up to get." The nearness that we want to experience from God is not this thing that happens automatically. It's something that comes from the energy and the work that we put in to keep our end of the covenant. And so I think that this text then has something to say to the modern church. Isaiah speaks directly and speaks against churches fasting while benefiting from racial inequity and inequality. It speaks against institutions lamenting division but refusing repair. It speaks against Christians who label justice political to avoid repentance. And it speaks against communities that spiritualize suffering while extracting labor. James Cone states it plainly. He says that silence in the face of oppression is not neutrality. It's complicity. And I would even go a step further and say that it's actually support. Because if we're not actively working against something, then we're actively allowing it to happen. And the Western church has too often fasted while enslaving, praying while segregating, singing hymns while redlining neighborhoods, preach holiness while protecting predators. Isaiah does not soften that indictment, and neither can we. So what should we do? I think verse 12 tells us, it says, you shall be called the repairers of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. Brothers and sisters, we should take on the identity as repair. Repair should be our identity. And you see the shift in the text that happens because what we realize then that justice is not just an event. It's not a slogan. But being people of justice is an identity. Being people who are called to repair, being people who are called to restore. We're not called to be escape artists using our spirituality as a way or a means to escape the realities of life. You know, our spirituality should empower us and encourage us and strengthen us and give us the tools that we need to fight day in and day out. Repairers. So partially, brothers and sisters, that requires confession. That requires honesty. That requires understanding. We'll try to distance ourselves from the problem and say like, oh, that's not me. Or, oh, no, my family never did this. My family never did that. But even if we weren't active participants, the benefits still trickle down. So not only does it require confession, but it requires redistribution. It requires a sharing of, a giving of, a lessening of for the sake of those who have been suffering under systems that intentionally keep them from being able to access. Rebuilding what was damaged. The arc bends toward justice, but only when hands bend with it. The last thing that we see in verses 13 and 14, though, is there's also a spiritual connection between Sabbath and justice. Because Sabbath is not private spirituality. And in many ways, it's actually economic interruption. To refrain from trampling the Sabbath means to stop pursuing profit at the expense of people. Sabbath, in many ways, confronts capitalism without conscience. It forces us to put limits, and it reminds us not only are ourselves, but those who work, those who are oppressed, are not commodities, but they are people. You are a person who deserves Sabbath rest and commune with God. But the oppressed are also people who deserve commune with God. True fasting and true Sabbath bring together and dismantle exploitation. So when we fast, then what should our aim be? Isaiah doesn't ask, did you worship well? It's not asking if you fasted sincerely, because I believe we sincerely fast. Except for that time I did the Daniel fast because I just wanted to lose weight. Be honest. It asks this. In your fasting, who was freed? While you fasted, who was fed? In the midst of your fasting, what was repaired? While you fasted, did injustice lose its grip? That is the fast that God chooses. If the church wants to experience resurrection, we first have to repair what's been broken, partially by us. If we want to see the light break forth like the dawn, we must break the yoke that keeps others in darkness. Again, the arc bends toward justice, but God is not bending it alone. He's bending it with His people. And as I was thinking about this, because as I was saddened by all of my meaningless fast, it brought to mind this whole concept of love languages. Are you all familiar with the five love languages? And the thing about the five love languages that was paramount for me in my personal relationship was I realized that we all have our ways that we show love. And most of us receive love the same way that we show it. So it's also really easy for us to show love to people the way that we know, right? I'm a gift giver. I like buying stuff for people. I like doing stuff. Like, that's just my thing. And so I feel most loved when people do stuff for me. Doesn't have to be big. Somebody bought me a Red Bull the other day. It was amazing. I just like stuff. Like, oh, you thought about me. You gave me a McDonald's coupon. You don't care about my waist, but you care about my stomach. Thank you. But I started to notice in my personal relationships, particularly when I think about my wife, that there seemed to be a disconnect because she wasn't responding the way that I wanted her to respond. Like, I would come home with fake Louis Vuitton bags. I can't afford the real ones yet. Steve, can I get a... No, I'm just joking. All right. I would come home with all of these nice things. I would come home with outfits and clothes, and she would say thank you, but it wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. Finally, we took the test together, and we realized what was happening because she had the same complaint. She's like, Leslie, you know, you don't seem to respond the way that I want you to respond when I put my hand on your shoulder or when I hug you. Well, I grew up in a household where we didn't hug, we didn't touch. So I don't really want you to touch me for real. Just I had to learn. That's learned behavior, right? But what I found out was that my wife's love language was physical touch. And so even though I was giving her stuff and I was buying her stuff and doing all these things that I thought were cool, she appreciated them, but it wasn't filling her tank because she just wanted me to hug her and hold her for a little while. I wish I knew that because I could have just spent that money on myself. That's another. Y'all pray for me. And the reason why this came to me as I was thinking about fasting, thinking about this text. Because God, throughout the biblical text, has continued to tell us how we should honor Him. To care for the oppressed, to love mercy and to do justice, to care for the widow and the orphan. Like, he said these things in so many different ways, but instead of loving God the way He's called us to love Him, to first honor Him and then love our neighbors as ourselves, we love God the way that we want to love Him and expect God to respond the way that we want Him to respond. And we miss the disconnect. So my challenge for you is, if for some reason you feel a disconnect in your relationship with God, if you feel like God is not showing up the way that you believe God should show up, if you feel like God is not answering the prayers, right? When we say the prayers of the righteous availeth much, maybe we are not as righteous as we think we are, amen? Ask yourself, am I loving God the way that God wants me to love? Or am I loving God the way that I want to love God? I'll give up what I want to give up. I'll sacrifice what I want to sacrifice. I'll show up when I want to show up. And as long as the things that I do for God doesn't cause me discomfort, I'm cool. But the more it's calling me to sacrifice, the more uncomfortable it's causing me to be, the more of my world that gets rocked as I lean deeper into my relationship with God, the more uncomfortable I get, the more I pull back. Then maybe the gap in the movement in the world that we are seeing is not because God doesn't desire action, but God desires his people to be more faithful to him. If you want to show our love for God through fasting in this Lenten season, we got, 30 days left? Just about. If you're one of those people that don't count Sabbath, Sunday. Right, it is confusing. But you have an opportunity to say, you know what, how can I realign the rest of this? Like, God, I really want these things that I'm sacrificing to have meaning. Like, I really want to make a difference in the kingdom. God, I want to have your glory shown in the world through my life. So when I skip lunch, who can I feed? Maybe just start with something that simple. If you're fasting from food, like don't stockpile. Like the year I fasted from Red Bull, I just bought them every day, my favorite flavors, and they were all there waiting for me on Good Friday. Like, I just, right? Don't stockpile, but say, like, hey, what can I sacrifice? What can I give up? Who can I help? If I'm gonna stop shopping, the money that I'm saving, where can I donate it? What can I do? There's actually really tangible ways to say, how can I help? How can I make a difference? That's the fast that God wants. So like the Reverend said, the moral arc of the universe bends toward justice. But I think it bends faster and it bends more distinctly the more hands of God's people who are helping to bend the ark. Will you bend the ark? Will you be repairers and restorers? Will we give God the fast that God wants? Amen. Let's pray.